Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord and see all these smiling faces. Amen. Are you ready to sing this morning? We're going to try that one more time because I know you have a little more in you. Are you ready to sing this morning? Amen. There we go. We're going to start out with Majesty. Worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all the glory, honor, and praise. This morning,
sing majesty, worship His majesty, and unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Worship His Majesty, Jesus who died and now glorified, King of all kings.
Sing it again.
Sing Majesty, oh worship His Majesty, and unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, majesty, kingdom, authority, unto His own, His anthem raise, and so exalt, lift up on high, the name of Jesus, magnify, come glorify, Christ Jesus, the King. Majesty, we worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen. Amen. Let's keep singing. Love lifted me.
Well, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Oh, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Sing, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, and all my heart to Him I give. Ever to Him I cling, and in His blessed presence live. Ever His praises sing. Oh, love so mighty and so true merits His whole best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. And souls in danger look above, 'cause Jesus completely saves. And he will lift you by his love out of the angry waves, 'cause he's the master of the seas, billows his will obey. Your Savior wants today, sing it out, love lifted me, yes, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, yes, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Sing, love lifted me, yes, love lifted me.
Give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for bringing us together. We thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is in this house. Because Jesus, you're here. The joy of the Lord is our strength today. And so, Father, I pray that you would just take hold of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our bodies today. That this would become a day, an hour of worship that will just bless and honor the kingdom of heaven, and bless you, Jesus. It'll be an hour that just gives us the power that we need to walk through this week that we've entered into. Father, I thank you for every man and woman, every person that's here today. Bless them. Lord, just fill their lives with more of you. We give you this day and this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, that's great singing today. Steve, you said it. They're doing a great job. God is honored and glorified. You know, we get to join heaven. The Bible says that the angels are around the throne of God even as we're here now. And when we're doing whatever we're doing during the day and when we're sleeping at night, there's no night in heaven. The angels are gathered around the throne of heaven worshiping all of our days and all of our nights down here on earth. And you know what is amazing is you and I today in this hour of worship get to join in. Our praises go up as incense unto the throne of God. And I believe that he's pleased this morning. Oh, it's so good to see all of you. So good to see those of you that have come back to visit for the winter months, or at least for a little bit of time. And you're going to head back for the holidays and then be back when it comes time for, the first of the year. Welcome back. We're filling this place up and we're just so glad that you're here. And I want to take a moment just to welcome anyone that's with us today for the very, very first time. And we have a special little gift. It's a little promise book. It's got the promises of God at fingertip reach for anyone. If you're looking for something, you need an answer to something, or you're thinking about praying and you want to pray a scripture and you've got a situation, this little book is just a wonderful little tool that will help you to connect with Jesus. And if you're here today as a first-time friend, we want you to have this little book. And at the end of the service, back on my right and your left the way you're seated now, but when you turn around on your right, I will be there after church. Come by and say hello. Shake my hand. Receive this little book. I'd love to put it in your hand and welcome you to Nettles Island Church today. Amen and amen. A couple of things I want to go over with you. Christmas in Around will be here on December the 14th. There's a note in the bulletin, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I will say that we do have sign-up sheets on the information desk back on the right and on the little table by the main exit as you go out. the elevator doors there. There are two sign-up sheets. We need people to help us out with that to make that a successful event. We want to be in that little parade. We want to shine for Jesus on that day, and so we need some help with that. The other thing is Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes in the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, this church is just an amazing church. You are one of the greatest giving churches that I've ever been around, and I'm thankful to God for that. And I see all the boxes that have stuffed two tables full back there, and today is the day that they need to be in. So if you happen to be here and forgot your box at home, I'm going to be hanging out after church for a little bit. What you'll have to do is you have to race home, get your box. I don't know what the speed limit is for golf carts. Same for cars, right? Don't break the speed limit, but speed home up to the speed limit. Get your box, bring it back. We're going to take all these boxes. I'm going to cart them today in the back of my truck, and then tomorrow I'm going to take them to our drop-off center so that they can be ready to get out, so the boys and girls in America and around the world will have a little Christmas gift, and they'll learn about the love of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? God is so good. Amen and amen. All right, well, we're going to continue to worship, so I'm going to invite Steve to come and lead us again in more worship. Thank you, and God bless you today.
Amen, amen. Well, the theme of the service today is about God's love, and I don't know of any song that describes the love of God quite like this hymn, which is entitled "The Love of God is Greater Far Than Tongue or Pen Can Ever Tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest star." Sing with me this morning. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell, and it goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest end. Gave his son to win his erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever saints and angels sung. If you don't mind, if you're able, will you stand with me on this third verse? Could we within the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every scribe a
think about it.
To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and how measureless and strong, and it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Amen. Remain standing. We're going to pray this morning in our intercessory moment. And I know that in this room today, you have burdens and you have needs. And like we ask many, many Sundays, when you come through those double doors, leave your burdens, leave your worries, just drop them. See yourself laying them at the foot of the cross. Let Jesus have this hour where your mind is undivided, where your faith is raising up, where your trust and your hope are being built up in Christ. I serve a God and you serve a God where nothing is impossible. That means that He sees our needs. He cares about our situation. He knows what's coming this week. Some of you know, I've talked to some of you, you've got doctor's appointments, you've got some surgeries and things planned. He knows that. And He knows the things that we don't even know are going to strike us or get in front of us this week and be a surprise to us. Nothing surprises God, and He is faithful, and He is more than enough. His arm is not too short. He's strong and able to minister to our needs. We want to remember Connie Benedict, who had surgery last week, and Gordon Kimball this morning, and the Stevens family. Dave passed away a few weeks ago. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask a prayer over you today. So I just want you to release your faith. Take that thing that you laid at the door, and as you think about it in prayer, just say, God, it's at the door, it's under the cross, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you've got this, that you're handling it. Father, we thank you today for your love. Lord, the oceans, with all the volume of water that they hold, could not even compare to the love of God. Remind us today that you love us so much. And that love was first and foremost focused upon bringing us into your family, that we might be saved and we might have a place with you in eternity. But Lord, when I read through the Bible, I also see that you're a God who heals, and you're a God who restores, and you're a God who makes crooked ways straight and brings down mountains and raises up valleys. That's the God we serve in this church. And so we trust you today with all of our burdens and all of our needs and all of our cares. God, there's nothing too hard for you to do. But Lord, it takes just that little bit of mustard seed faith to just put it into your hands and to trust God that you're going to do what you say in your word you're going to do. And so God, I pray over this body of believers and over every need and over every situation, over every name that's on this bulletin, God. We pray today that the power and the anointing and the work of God will be effectual this week, that there'll be transformation and change, and God, that you'll bring peace to our hearts and rest to our souls, and God, that we will just trust in you above all other things. God, take away our fear and take away our worries, take away our cares, and let us just know that, God, you are more than enough. May that just resonate with us today. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Are you thankful for the love of God this morning? Amen. And some are known by great authority. The kingdoms as far as eyes can see. In royal realms they rule from thrones, waging wars they overthrow the weak and call it victory. But my King is known by mercy, and my King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves, my King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave. For in all that he does, my King is known by love. I can almost see him even now. rejected with thorns upon his brow. What kind of king will leave his throne and make my sin and shame his own? Yet he gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. Oh, my king is known by mercy. Thy king is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My king is known by the cross. My king is known by an empty grave. For in all that he does, my king is known by a love that welcomes everyone as his daughters and his son. And no one is ever turned away. My king is known by mercy. My king is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My king is known by the cross. My king is known by an empty grave. For in all that he does, my king is known by love, his amazing love. My king is known by love. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Steve and Anthony. It's good to have Anthony with us, one of the Finney boys today. Of course, our drummer, Chris. Always good to have Chris. Amen. Well, we've got more songs and notes and agendas up here. I'd sing for you if I was any good. But I am going to share God's Word this morning. I'm excited about it, too. Excited to share the Word of God. We're in a series called A Love That Surpasses Knowledge. It's out of Ephesians. And today's message is entitled, Rooted and Established in Love. And I know that if you grew up in church, if you had a family that took you to church, or maybe you were one of those little boys or girls that the church bus came by and mom and dad wanted sleep, so they put you on the bus and you went on the bus because the bus has been around 50, 60, 70 years now. And you went to church, one of the first songs you learn is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? We know that little song. It's just a precious song to our hearts in memory as we age. But we know that. But do we really understand? Have we really ever plumbed the depths of God's love as best as we can? And this series title really says it all. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. And that doesn't mean that we just cast it aside and go, well, Jesus loves me, okay, I'll go eat some cake or have some cookies and some coffee. No. We have a responsibility to do our very best to understand in the ways that God, through His Spirit, will help us. And this love that God has for us is so important. And God wants us to know that love. It's the love of God from His heart. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. God doesn't just have this whole room filled to the top with love that He pulls out and then it replenishes itself. God is love. There would be no love if there were no God, because God is the one, He's the element of what love is. And God's core nature is a self giving agape-type love that's so vast that it's beyond our ability as humans to fully understand it. But that doesn't mean, as I said, that we don't try, that we know that even if we can't really fully comprehend it, we can experience it. And this is one of those things that we have to experience. And I trust and I hope and I pray today that all of us have had those moments and times that we just feel like a warm, soft blanket on a cold day wrap around us, and we know it's God. He's just showing us in experiential ways that He loves us and He cares about us. Anybody know what I'm holding up in my hand? Bag of potato chips, right? Bag of potato chips. I want to share this with you this morning. It's a bag of potato chips, but guess what else is in this bag? I heard somebody say it. There's air in this bag, isn't there? We say, oh, I went and bought a full bag of potato chips. Oh, no, we didn't. I can feel it. Steve, come up here, right here, just right here. Is that bag full?
No, it's like half
full. It's like half full, isn't it? It's half full. I was going to dump it out, but I don't think I will. I don't think they'd like if I did that. Thank you, Steve. You want one? Okay, go ahead. Good job this morning, the music. This bag is half full of potato chips. We say it's a bag of potato chips. Others have said there's air in there. We could say it's a bag of air. We'd be half right either way, wouldn't we? And actually, you know, this bag, before we opened it and let the air out, was what? All puffed up. It was all puffed up. Remember that this morning. And how many are hungry now? How many are ready for... I'll share these with you after service. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, that knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. I'm not saying that knowledge is wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't seek to know the things of God and to grow in knowledge, whether it's spiritual knowledge and biblical knowledge or knowledge of how a car runs or whatever it might be, or how to make a different kind of dessert or whatever. But knowledge can puff a person up, but love will always, always, always build up one another, build up the church, build up the body of Christ. You know, it's possible for us to be like that bag of chips that I had in my hand. We can be all puffed up with knowledge of God and the Bible. And, you know, some of us were raised, Dad was a pastor. I didn't have a choice. I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival nights, youth night, you name it. I was in church all the time. And sat and I listened and I learned and I got, and I learned a lot of things. But knowledge about God and the Bible, that can puff us up and that can give us a sense of personal spiritual success, and with that can come a sense of pride. It's easy to be puffed up, but God wants us to be built up with love one for another. So let's look at our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul declares God's desire this morning in that passage for you and for me, that we both know and are filled with God's love. And this is such a beautiful passage of Scripture, really. You see, God's love is so high and wide and long and deep that it surpasses our comprehension ability. We can't grasp all of it. God's love is infinite. God's love is timeless toward us and limitless toward us. and as his children, as his adopted family. And Paul is telling us that it cannot be fully understood with human reasoning nor fully explained with human language. But instead, God's love is meant to be experienced in both personal and in the community of believers in communal ways. And so we share a loving relationship with God made possible because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. But we are also to share that love in the community of faith with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. There's that song that says that the world will know us by our love, right? That little chorus. The world knows us by our love. And if the church is doing good in the quandary or the quadrant of love, then the world is going to see and say, they have something that's different than I have. They have something that I want, that I desire. I want what they have. And so the love of God coming in enables us to love going back out one another. God's love is less a piece of doctrine that we need to totally understand and become biblical scholars in, and more something that we encounter that heals us and it sets us free. Paul goes on in the text to describe for us the dimensions of God's eternal, unconditional, unchanging love in hopes that we will get a taste and see that God is so, so good. He knows it's going to override our mind's ability to fully grasp this love. When he mentions how wide and the length of it and the height of it and the depth of it, but we can begin to get a taste of it and experience it and feel it and sense it without fully understanding it. It works that way. And it's in this sense we can know the love of God because we've experienced it. We've experienced it. Paul describes this love in these four adjectives that we've mentioned, and I want to go over them quickly this morning. Number one, God's love is wide. How wide are God's arms of love to bring salvation? When God stretches out His arms, they're a lot longer than Rob's arms are this morning. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save." There's not one man or woman in this place or on this island or on Hutchinson or in our community or beyond, around the world, there's not one person who God cannot save. Some won't be saved because they'll choose not to receive Him. But God's arm, surely, Isaiah said, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. He can save. No one's outside of the breadth of God's arms outstretched in love. So God's love is wide, wider than we can imagine it. God's love is long, Paul says. In Psalm verse 130, or chapter 136, verse 1, the Bible says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. How long is His love? It's forever. 26 times in that chapter, the author of this psalm declares that God's love endures forever. God wants us to know that this morning. That's why it's there 26 times. How long is forever? It's an eternal kind of love. You can't out-sin it. You can't out-fail it. You can never cause God to quit loving you no matter what you think, do, or say. The love of God will still hold strong today, tomorrow, and throughout all of eternity. His love endures forever toward us. Paul said, God's love is high. Psalm 103, verse 11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him," those who trust Him, those who've come to Him in faith. How high are the heavens above the earth? I don't know how many of you earth and space science majors in high school or college we have today. I hated earth and space science. It just bored the daylights out of me. That's why I have to like Google everything when it comes to sermon notes and things like this. And I Googled this. Yesterday I was in the office looking at this and thinking about it. And I said, God, you know, I know we have the earth and then we have the atmosphere, the first heaven, and then we have the starry heaven and the sun, the second heaven, and the third, where the atmosphere and the Milky Way and all that second heaven. The third heaven is God's heaven. It's where the throne room of God is, where the angels are today and the saints that have gone before us are there today. They're in heaven. How high is that heaven above the earth? So great that God's love is for those who fear Him. the length of space. Now, I don't know where heaven is above the highest height of the atmosphere, but I can go that far anyway. The length of space beyond Earth is so incredibly vast that units of measure, which are convenient for us in our everyday lives, become gigantic. Science tells us that the distance from the sun to the Earth's orbit is about 93 million miles. Now, for much greater distances than that, astronomers go from miles, and they don't really use that. They use light years. How many light years is it, right? And a light year is how far you and I would travel in a year if you and I could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. Not per hour, per second. That's a light year. The sun is 93 million miles away. Science tells us that the height of the universe, that is the distance from the Earth to the very edge of where the telescopes can go and show us, to the very edge of the known universe, is about 46.5 billion light years away. 46.5 billion in a light year is how far we travel in a year if we were traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. I can't even put my mind around that. I am not that intelligent. I couldn't figure out to chart it if I had to. 46.5 billion light years, that's to get to the end of our universe, and heaven is somewhere above that. How far, how great is the love of God from earth to where God's throne room? We can't even begin to put calculations together on that. That's how the Bible illustrates how great God's love is for us, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Now, there's a side note, and I can't help this. I found this yesterday, and it made me smile. I wish you'd have been in the office with me. I'd have been high-fiving you. The scientist that wrote this that I got this from when I did my study, he said, oh, by the way, you cannot travel at the speed of light as far as we know. And I sat there for a minute, and I just couldn't get past that. And then all of a sudden, light bulbs started going off, and I went, oh, really? And I started to smile. You and I are going to travel at the speed of light or faster than the speed of light one day. I promise you that. You see, what science doesn't know, because they're not all-knowing, and God, who's omniscient and all-knowing, knows, and he put in the Bible this phrase. We know that guy was incorrect. I'm sorry to say, I should probably write him a letter and tell him, because he doesn't understand it. Tucked down in the pages of the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 is this verse that says that in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming back for his church. We're going to heaven. We're either going by the way of the grave and instantly closing our eyes on this earth and exhaling our last breath, and then the next inhaled breath is going to be heaven's air, and when we blink, we're going to be looking at heaven's vista, and we're going to see all of that. But if the rapture happens and the Lord comes back today or tomorrow or very soon while we're here, we are going to travel with him from earth to glory at the speed of light or faster. It says at the twinkling of an eye. Well, I looked that up. Couldn't help it, right? About you know what the twinkling of an eye is? It's not the blink of our eye. I used to think that till I looked at this. The twinkling of an eye is the time that it takes for light. Now, how fast does light travel? Right? It takes for light to enter the eye, reach the back of the eye, and be reflected back out. This process occurs in about 1/1,000,000th of a second as light travels 186,000 miles per second. That's the twinkling of an eye. That's not a blink. A blink is quick. This is faster than that. And God used the word in the twinkling of an eye. There's going to be a moment where Gabriel or one of the other angels he appoints is going to get that trumpet. He's going to blow that thing. And as quick as we can't even imagine, we're going to be from here to there. Sorry, Mr. Scientist, he's wrong. We will travel one day faster than the speed of light. Paul's talking about when Christ raptures us, when the church goes up. when it's time to go and when we get there in that nanosecond traveling so fast. You know, the thing is there are songs that have been written, there have been movies that have been made about what's going to happen when people in the world that don't know Christ, all of a sudden all these people are missing. They're not going to be standing there watching me float up like a balloon, a helium balloon, and there goes Rob. Where are you going? Oh, I got to go to heaven now. You know? The Gaithers have a song that there's going to be, you know, people are going to be doing things and pilots are going to be flying planes and all of a sudden they're gone. It's going to happen that quick. People aren't going to know what happened. You're going to be there. They're going to be talking to you. And that fast, that trumpet blows and we're in heaven. How about the love of God? You know, how amazing that love is and how high that love is. We can't even fathom the love. You know, I get excited about this little science stuff, but let me get real excited about the love of God in this thing. And then the last thing Paul said in that verse is that God's love is deep. Psalm 139, verse 8 provides the scripture for that. It says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there, talking about God. If I make my bed in the depths. Now that word for depths is Sheol. That's hell. If I make my bed in hell, God, you're there. There isn't any place that God is exempt from. And God is love, so where God is, there's that love. I'm not saying that when the enemy, the devil, when he's in hell and all that revelation that comes together, that the devil's going to get a second chance at God's love. I'm not saying that. But God can't go anywhere that his love isn't present in him and there. And so how deep is that love when it relates to you and I? You know, I said we can't out-sin it. We can't outrun it. We can't out-mess up it. We can't outdo that, the love of God. I looked this up, too. The deepest part of the earth is 36,000 feet deep. It's 6.82 miles. It's the Mariana Trench. It's in the Pacific Ocean. The nearest nations that are closest to it, the coastlines, Japan, Taiwan, and the Philippines. And to this day, it remains largely unexplored. Due to the remote nature of it, its extreme conditions such as its immense pressure, its near freezing temperatures, and its complete darkness. We can't really explore that. It's too far. It's too deep. It's too much. And God's love is so deep toward us that he tells us that it reaches into the deepest place of our human understanding and beyond. We can never go beneath that love, even at our lowest points in life. I've been low at times. I've had things going on. I've had trials and challenges. And I've even asked the question, God, where are you? Right? You have? Where are you, God? You said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And I feel like I'm forsaken. And I feel like I'm in this all by myself. And yet we read this verse that tells us that we can never go as high as the heavens and as deep as the deepest place that you could ever find, the love of God can be there and will be there. God doesn't abandon us and doesn't take away his love from us because some days we act good and some days we don't act so good. These four aspects of God's love are just so incredible and mind-boggling that sometimes we just don't really understand it, but we can experience it. We can feel it. We can sense it. We can know it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Then that all brings me to the main thing that I want to say today, and that is that we must be rooted in God's self-giving agape love. We've got to be rooted in it. That's his love. I've described it with biblical scripture. I've shared what it is, and hopefully you're getting a picture of that. Man, I can't even comprehend this thing. I thought I knew that. I know I'm loved by God, but I didn't know how much. I didn't know how great it was. But the reason that he loves us and he cares for us is so that you and I can have this love that gets planted so we can get rooted and we can get that love into our hearts. You see, it's God's plan and desire that we not only receive and take hold of this amazing love for ourselves, and we need to do that, but he wants us to model this love in our day-to-day responses with others, in the church family, in our own families, with our friendships, with those, as we spoke last week, you're in or you're out or you're near or you're far, and we want to be near or far people. For those that are far away, we need to express love to those folks that need a Savior. And that's not going to be possible unless you and I understand experientially this love enough and believe what God's word says and take it if we have to by faith enough and ask God to put that love in us so that that love begins to get rooted and established in our lives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I have, if I give all I possess to the poor and give all my body to the hardship, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I have nothing." You see, church, without love, all these spiritual and godly qualities and blessings that God can give to us, and somebody just prays in an unknown angelic or language, or somebody who's prophesying, or somebody who's got great faith, all of those things to God mean nothing unless love is exuding out of us. They amount to nothing. If we're not rooted and we're not grounded in Christ's love, we end up puffed up like that bag of potato chips rather than being built up. Now listen, when we're rooted and established in love, we are going to reap a harvest of true life-giving connections with one another and with God. Life will be amazing in our relationships, in our connections, and the way we value and look at people. And when we're rooted in love, our first response or action will be an act or to respond out of love. Let me say that again. When we are rooted in love, our first response will be to act out with love. You say, "Pastor, that sounds great, but that sounds unrealistic. Man, sometimes things just catch me unawares." And okay, fair enough. But let me show you how, as I remind us that with God, all things are possible. You see, whenever we're facing a challenging situation in our lives, maybe a conflict with a neighbor or a fight with our spouse or a financial strain, maybe the betrayal of a friend, or you could list 1,000 things. Think about where you faced a challenging situation where it involved somebody else and your first thought was of anger, frustration. You get mad, right? When we're rooted in love, our first response will be love. Our first response can always be based on love for that individual or that people group. Now, I'm saying that on purpose. I want you to get this. Our first response, not our first feeling. Are you with me? Not our first feeling. Our first action. Response is action. What we do or what comes out of our mouth, what we say. I'm not responsible, nor are you responsible for that first feeling or that first thought. God's not holding us accountable to that first feeling. He's not holding us accountable to the first thought. "Well, I'd like to just punch that guy right." That's my first thought. Now, God help me if that's my response, especially if he's bigger than me. We're not responsible for our first feeling or our first thought in difficult situations and with difficult people. But we are responsible for our second thought, right? And then the action. Actions come out of thoughts. You remember a while back we talked about the gripper? If you were here, the hand. I got this imaginary wrist and hand. It's in my brain. And when a thought comes into my head, because the Bible says that I'm supposed to take every thought captive and bring it, look at it, and bring it into obedience unto the Lord. So how do I do that? Well, one day years ago, I don't know, as a young pastor, half goofy out of my mind probably, and I'm reading this thing. I'm like, "God, I get to, how do I do that?" And all of a sudden I thought about this little idea, and I thought, and I know it's an imaginary thing, but just go with me on this. And it's just, I said, okay, I'm going to call this thing the gripper. And when thoughts come in, this little gripper that lives in my brain is going to grab that thought and look at it and go, that's a worthy thought. That's an honorable thought. That's a godly thought. That's a good thought. I'll let you stay. But the gripper grabs a thought and goes, well, you want to beat that? That's not a God thought. Out with you. And throws it out. And I know that's kind of a silly little thing, but that has helped me in my life to think about being in control of the thoughts. You see, we're not responsible for our first thought, but we are responsible for our first action, our second thought, and our first action. We're responsible how we respond in every given situation, because your response is to be controlled by you. You've got to control that. You can control your second thought and the first action when you're rooted in God's love. How do we exercise control? Well, we do that by the working and the power of the indwelt Holy Spirit. If you're saved today, do you know that God's not just in heaven? Jesus, the Father's not in heaven on his throne. Jesus is just not on his throne next to the Father, but God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. God's in church today because you came to church and I came to church. He's in us and he's with us. And so we have the indwelling Holy Spirit every day. He sees, he walks with us and he moves with us. And if you'll ask him, he'll talk to you and he'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you the power that you need. So we do self-control by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit's the author of the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is self-control. It's a process, church. You don't wake up and as a new Christian, all of a sudden you have this all worked out and figured out perfectly, but we learn and we grow and we pray and we ask and the Spirit of God begins to work in us, and it's a process and we grow from glory to glory, the Bible says, from stage to stage, from place to place in the glory of God. It's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. It's just like natural fruit. God's fruit of self-control starts out small like a little apple seed. But you plant that and it begins to grow. And as we pray and we're asking God to plant that seed of love in the soil of our heart and to water it and to weed it and to grow it from a fledgling little sprout as it breaks forth out of the top of the surface of the soil into a strong tree that bears lots and lots and lots of fruit. Living a life of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is not only possible, but it's God's plan for us as believers. And as we become rooted deeply in God and his love, when life happens, and it's going to happen, somebody's going to cut you off when you go out of here to go to Shuckers to have lunch today. Somebody's not going to stop when they should stop. How are you going to respond? When life happens, we have God the Holy Spirit at work with all of his resources to draw from to help us to engage within our second thoughts and our first actions with others. So just like this bag of chips that appeared to be full, I bought a bag of potato chips, but it was 50% air. We can appear to be full as Christians. We can show our best face when we come in through the doors on Sunday morning, and probably most of us do that. But we can do that, and we can really be half empty if we're not rooted in God's love. But as we grow in the love of God, we will respond to life's challenging situations and life's challenging people with increasing measures of God's love. And we'll find that God does immeasurably more than we can think or we can imagine, because it's his goodwill that we would truly learn to love one another and to love the lost. Would you pray with me? Father, we bow our hearts this morning. Lord, the the letter that Paul writes to the Ephesian church. It's not the simplest book to understand. It's packed with so many amazing truths, and some of those truths are pretty deep. God, love isn't really meant to be deep, but the depth of your love is unimaginable to us. And God, it doesn't mean that we can't use our brains and understand it to a place or to a degree, but God, your love is so much bigger than we're ever going to understand. It surpasses our knowledge, our theme verse for this series. It surpasses us. But we need to understand that love, and we need to experience that love in our sense of understanding. And so, Father, I pray over this church today. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we gather today because we love you, and we are grateful for the love that you have expressed toward us. For God so loved the world, and I can insert my name, and each one can insert their name. God, you so loved us before we even knew what love was, and before we even had an understanding that there was a God that cared and was compassionate. You loved us. And Father, we thank you for that love today. And I pray that there's not one person that would miss out on the love of God. I pray that you would put your arms around every saint in this place today. God, that you would snuggle us up close to you this week. That we would go to a new level of your love. That we might experientially understand it better and deeper and higher and wider and longer and greater. God, because it's that love that will transform us. It's that love through the power of the Holy Spirit that will make us to have a greater capacity for your love to fill us more, to love you more, and to love others. God, we are the church that love is building. We want to love Nettles Island. We want to love Hutchinson and Jensen and the county and the state and the nation and the world around us. Lord, we're living in a time where divisiveness is so powerful and so strong, and everybody's got a war with somebody about something. And God, the church needs to rise up and let the world see that we have what they so desperately need. So fill us with your love. Empower us today. Lord, if there's somebody, one person that does not know Jesus, that does never experience your love, they're not saved, they've never given their life, they've never confessed their sins and said, Jesus, I'm sorry, and come into my heart. God, I pray right where they're seated today that they would just quietly speak these words. Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I ask you to come into my life. I make you the Lord of my life today. I give you my heart. And I will serve you from this day forward. Thank you for saving me. Lord, if there's one that would pray that and mean that with their heart, they'll begin to experience your love as we, those that have done this, already experience. Father, I ask today your blessing upon this congregation. God, I ask that you would meet every need as we've asked earlier, that as we walk out of here today, that we would walk out of here with a lighter step than when we came in. God, that the joy of the Lord will exude through us and the love of God will just flow. That Nettles Island will say there's something about those folks that meet upstairs on a Sunday morning. I want what they have. And that's the love of Jesus. So bless us with it. Just fill us with it more and more and more. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Our closing song today fits the theme of the message in the day. Oh, how he loves you and me. Sing it as Steve leads us today.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. You and me. Jesus to Calvary did go.
Bless and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord give you His peace today and tomorrow and forevermore. Go in His love. God be with you. Have a blessed week. We'll see you Sunday.